Frozen Software hands the country a one-day extension on filing tax returns. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Yesterday was supposed to be the tax deadline day, the day to send your tax return to the U.S. government or there's a penalty. But for all of those who waited until the last minute, the IRS website went on the fritz. Here's the IRS acting commissioner who happened to be at a Capitol Hill hearing when the snafu was happening.
On my way over here this morning, I was told that a number of IRS systems are unavailable at the moment. We are working to resolve this issue, and taxpayers should continue to file their returns as they normally would.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra was watching this drama and the impromptu one-day grace period the government has now offered. Mariel, who'd this affect?
On the IRS website, you can pay your taxes directly through your bank account for free, and a lot of people do. And yesterday, that system crashed. So folks who tried to pay their taxes this way got a message saying the system would be down until December 31st of the year 9999. Yeah, as in many centuries from now. And, you know, people could have paid with a credit card, but that would cost money. Or they could have printed out the tax return and popped it in the mail if they had a check and enough time. But this whole thing caused a lot of confusion. And as you said, the IRS now says everyone has an extra day to file.
So blame those darn computers.
Yeah, the IRS says this was a hardware issue. And some context, Congress has been cutting the IRS budget by billions over the past 8 years or so. At the same time, the agency has an old computer system that officials have been saying desperately needs an upgrade. John Koskinen, the former head of the IRS, told the New York Times that he's been warning Congress this might happen. He said, quote, "It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the system fails." Meanwhile, more and more people are filing their taxes electronically, so that puts a lot of strain on an old system.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. Let's check the financial markets. The FTSE in London is up 0.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up 0.2%. History is being made in Cuba today. The Cuban National Assembly is expected to decide on a new president. It'll be the first time in more than a half century that someone who is not a Castro would lead. All signs point to current Vice President Miguel Díaz-Canel as the successor to Raúl Castro, Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
It isn't just a shift in leadership. With Díaz-Canel nearly 30 years younger than Raúl Castro, it's a generational shift as well. Richard Feinberg wrote the book Open for Business, Building the New Cuban Economy. He says the new leader could appeal to younger Cubans by embracing more change.
They want to see an acceleration and a deepening of the reform process that Raúl Castro did begin, an opening to the global economy, a widening of opportunities in the Cuban private sector.
But Monica DiBoli, a professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, says Díaz-Canel's recent rhetoric has been pretty Castro-esque.
Same ideas and very much the same kind of thinking in terms of how Cuba should be run, the fact that, you know, it should remain as a communist country, as a state-led economy.
International diplomacy is feeling old school as well. Relations between the U.S. and Cuba are once again highly strained. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more that we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. You'll reap the rewards every time you listen, knowing that you're helping Marketplace make people smarter about the economy and why all this matters. And here's the thing, your donation now will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thanks for making a difference. The U.S. Census projects that people 65 and older will soon outnumber children under 18. This will happen by the year 2035, when a kid born today turns 17. We'll keep an eye on what this means to government funding, Social Security, culture. Today, how aging baby boomer, that generation is already reshaping senior living. Houston Public Media's Allison Lee visited a project.
Okay, I'll call you back after exercise class.
Marilyn Oliver is talking to her granddaughter, but has to say she'll call her back later. She is a little too busy to talk right now.
Double time. Bounce it. One, two, three.
Oliver
four,
is 89 years old. This is the second exercise class she's taken today, and then she has to get ready for the residential happy hour, which happens every day at 4.
Yeah, well, I always have my half a cup of wine.
She lives at Avanti Senior Living in Houston. Its developers say the industry is starting to view assisted living more as hospitality, offering restaurant-style dining and a decor that resembles more of a boutique hotel.
They're marketing to very specific populations.
Vonette Fay is a professor specializing in geriatric care at the Sissick School of Nursing at UT Health in Houston.
They're wanting kind of the same lifestyle that they've had.
She says in the past decade, the number of senior living communities has grown. Along with it, new technology.
There's a real move toward smart homes. They even have sensors in the bed
to notify somebody when seniors get up. The Pew Research Center estimates there are about 74 million people in the baby boomer generation. And those who've already retired say this kind of service comes with a price. Marilyn Oliver, the senior busy with exercise class, says it takes everything she has to live at Avanti.
A lot of my friends can't afford to live in a place like this.
She says she pays $5,200 a month. That includes meals, activities, transportation, housekeeping, and utilities. Her advice?
Save your money, kids, because it's going to be expensive when you get to be this age.
Oliver says she uses all of her retirement savings, Social Security, and her late husband's military pension to be able to afford to live there. In Houston, I'm Allison Lee for Marketplace.
And President Trump has not filed his taxes. Instead, there's news he's filed for an extension. The White House says the reason is his tax returns are complex, an assertion journalists will not be able to independently corroborate. If you're interested in seeing the tax returns of other presidents, Marketplace.org has a link to returns for Obama, the Bushes, Clinton, Reagan, Nixon, Truman, Roosevelt. There's more. Knock yourself out. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.